You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's just glad John Landis didn't direct Ghostbusters. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
There'd be so many car crashes.
Well, no, we would get Max Landis Ghostbusters now.
Oh, yes.
It's a thinker.
That is a thinker, and you are absolutely correct. All right. Well, hey, thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week.
I started playing Control. After it won a bunch of awards and everybody keeps talking about how good it was, I was finally like, huh, maybe I should give that one a shot.
Okay, and how is it?
It's very good. It's like a third-person shooter, but with psychic powers and all kinds of metaphysical weirdness going on.
Okay, cool.
It's very much up my alley.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're a woman who finds herself in this weird government building. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, and you end up becoming the director of it because you were get chosen to by the giant inverted black pyramid that runs it. It's very wild and cool like that, and it tells a story like in through multiple different ways. You pick up text, like written stuff that you can read. You pick up audio diaries. You pick up live action, like, video stuff.
Live action? Really?
Yeah, that's not bad, if you can believe that. It's
wow,
good
that's
live
even
action
more
stuff.
Unbelievable. Wow, okay.
It's by Remedy, the people who did the original two Max Payne games, and Alan Wake, and Quantum Break, and it's very much in the same vein as of those games, gameplay-wise.
Okay.
Like, you can see their style kind of mold into this game over time.
I actually heard there's a Easter egg for Alan Wake somewhere.
Yeah.
In it, right?
I haven't gotten to it, if there is, but, like, this takes place in the same universe as Alan Wake does.
Gotcha, yeah.
But if you like weird story-based third-person shooters, like, this is primo stuff. Like, I haven't put that much time into it yet, I don't think, but... But I'm already stoked on it. The art direction is very cool, too. Like, the design of this building is very, like, brutalist and...
Okay, yeah.
Just everything looks really cool.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
So, yeah, check out Control. Don't sleep on it like I did. Although, to be fair, a lot of really good games came out all at the same time there.
Yeah.
It was the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good one.
Cool.
I got it through Gamefly. I had it and the new Star Wars on my list. The Star Wars was higher on the list, and they were both the same availability, but they sent me this one.
Oh, weird.
Which is weird, but...
But hey, sounds like it turned out, though.
Yeah, I think I probably will like this more than I would that Star Wars game that's just supposed to be fine.
Dark Souls, but Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I saw a review of that Star Wars game by... Have you ever seen Girlfriend Reviews?
I've heard the name. I tried watching one of their streams, and maybe it was just the mood I was in that night, but it didn't grab me.
Oh, I've never watched their streams, but their YouTube videos are very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one on the Star Wars game that made a good point about how it's just a passable game. And we shouldn't all lose our minds just because they made a Star Wars game that was not bad.
Yeah.
Because they used to make Star Wars games that were not bad all the time.
Right.
Remember Han Solo dancing?
Yes.
Nothing bad about that.
No. Darn it, if we didn't already have a song picked out for this episode,
that would have been
a good one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll surprise the folks at the halfway point. We haven't said what we're playing yet. Okay, so the thing I checked out this week, the major thing, was I went and saw Knives Out, the new Rian Johnson murder mystery movie.
Every Star Wars fan's favorite guy, Rian Johnson.
You know what? He did an excellent job with this film. Knives Out is fantastic, and it shows that this is the style of movie that the guy should really be making. He's not exactly suited for high action space fantasy. he kind of needs a universe where he is not beholden to
corporate masters.
Corporate masters and 30 years worth or more worth of continuity and a rabid fan base that will meticulously pick apart every single aspect of your film, where this he was able to kind of come in and create all of his characters whole cloth, come up with an original story. I can't get into the plot of the movie too much. There is a murder. Christopher Plummer is a crime and mystery novelist who is murdered in his home one night, and everyone is a suspect, and all of his kids are like, they're just the worst people. The cast is phenomenal. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is in there. Michael Shannon is great and actually has a fairly large part. They have Don Johnson is in it and is really good, but they follow, I can't think of the actress's name. Her character's name is Marta. She was Christopher Plummer's nurse. And the movie really follows her, and it follows Daniel Craig's detective, like Southern Louisiana, like over the top bayou, like Southern drawl. And I'm here to solve the mystery. It sounds like I'm doing like an exaggerated impression of Daniel Craig. No, that's how he sounds in this movie.
Perfect.
Chris Evans is fantastic in this. The movie has a significant amount of twists and turns throughout the entire thing, which is interesting because the mystery is kind of solved about 40 minutes in. But like, it keeps going after that, and it keeps twisting further and further. A lot of people have compared it to Clue, the classic. Tim Curry.
Okay, yeah, now I really want to see it.
And it absolutely is. Like, it doesn't have that gimmick of the multiple endings like Clue, but it is, especially the end with Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig has, like, a 10-minute-long monologue at the end, it feels like. And it is almost exactly like Tim Curry's, I was over here, and you went over there, and this did that, and this back and forth. And it's, I can't say enough good things about this film. It is phenomenal. It might be my favorite of the year. It might be my best of the year, honestly. And this was a pretty good year for movies. Haven't seen Star Wars yet. Don't know. But like right now, Knives Out is like leaps and bounds above
from
everything
else. From the look of initial impressions, Knives Out probably still will be your favorite movie of the year after Star Wars. But we'll see.
I'm going to reserve judgment until I actually see Star Wars. I know what reviewers are saying, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show, because we're going to do some Star Wars predictions. Because at the time of recording this, it hasn't come out yet. By the time you're hearing it, it has been.
So you'll know, and we won't, and it'll be fun for you, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
I would like
Although
to
that's
think.
How I feel about every show that we do. I hope it's fun.
Hopefully this is fun for someone.
But no, Knives Out, if you get a chance, don't wait on this. Go see it in theaters. It's the filmmaking. There's a lot of really interesting shots. I guess it's a lot of close-ups of faces. There's a lot of really neatly framed like things. It's interesting in that the main character, the guy who was murdered, is a mystery novelist, and Daniel Craig's character is like a Perot, or like an over the top. Like, he feels like a character that there have been 10 or 15 books already about this amazing detective. And this is just one of the stories in it. But despite that, he is secondary to the, her name is Anna to something. If only there was some kind of internet I can look up the name of the actress. But it really follows those two characters and Chris Evans to an extent. But saying any more about it, I'm going to start spoiling things. And this is a movie you don't want to get spoiled on. You want to go in.
Ana de Armas?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. But she's fantastic. Go see it. It's great. The other thing I checked out, we've talked about it for the last couple weeks, the Shovel Knight, the final expansion pack came out with King Knight, King of Cards, and the Shovel Knight Showdown. So I've been playing.
It sounds like your opinion is going to be wildly different from my own.
I believe it is. Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of both of it, and Shovel Knight Showdown is phenomenal.
I still haven't played it.
I love it. I've been playing it. I've been playing a lot of that. It is interesting that it is a twist on the Smash Brothers kind of arena fighter style. Like, there's not as many moves, but like, it has some quality of life stuff that I wish they would have added to Smash Brothers Ultimate. Actually, I wish there was a collect the gems to win mode in Smash Brothers Ultimate, because a lot of the main two modes in that game is either knock people out, knock their stock down to zero, you know, not, you know, kill them enough times.
Stamina mode.
Stamina mode, yeah. Or randomly throughout the match, different gems pop up on the screen and you collect them to, and once you get like a set number, you win. And when you defeat an opponent, it'll spit out one of their gems for you to collect. And that is so much fun. I've gone through, it's great, and I wish Smash Brothers had it. I've gone through and I've done the story mode on every character, unlocked every character. I'm almost done unlocking all of the stages. There is so many stages, so many different characters. Like, some of the best characters, the ones I love to play, are like the guest characters, the ones that aren't like the main cast. Like, the Baz is phenomenal. Mr. Hat does a stance change. He switches between a magic user and a sword user.
Huh.
Like, and this is a game that has like, each character has maybe 3 or 4 attacks total. And this guy has like real depth to his moveset. It's phenomenal. I love it. King Knight, on the other hand, I am still super on the fence about. So the Shovel Knight pack, you know, it has four or five different games with it. And if you remember, I've been when I talked about the Plague Knight, the first expansion pack, I said I love the characters, but I don't care for the gameplay. And when I talked about Spectre Knight, I loved his movement and gameplay, but could care less about what was going on in the story. King Knight is like the worst of both worlds. I don't like how he moves. And the most fun I have is when anyone other than King Knight is on screen. I don't care about that character at all.
Oh, I think he's hilarious.
I can't stand him.
He's just so full of himself for no good reason. There's whatsoever. Zero.
Oh yeah. No, I understand the conceit of him, but
dude,
like,
dude still lives with his mom.
Yeah.
Like, literally you go back to his house and his mom cooks you food.
Yeah. Like, but like, some of the best interactions is when he is talking and reacting to other people on the airship.
Yeah.
Like, have you gotten, what point are you in it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, have you gotten past the first level? Are you to the second screen?
The second screen on the map, yeah.
Okay, so there are a lot of interplays between the King Pridemore and King Knight's mom. Like, and his reactions are like, no, stop. This is gross. Stop it. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. Some of the, again, a lot of interactions and stuff are just phenomenal. It seems like Baz, speaking of, you know, the guest characters, his whole thing was, if I defeat you, I will take your place. He got that idea from King Knight because King Knight was like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Is like, because he's going around trying to beat people to call himself the King of Cards. And Baz is like, you could do that. And you could just beat someone and then take their title. I'm almost done with it. And I mean, I'm having fun, but I think it is the least fun I'm having with any of them.
I like the way he moves just because it's so different than anything I've ever played before. Like, it's a really unique platformer movement style.
Yeah. The second half of his movement is unique. The first half is just Wario's shoulder bash.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it turns into a spinning jump after you hit something.
Yeah. And like, I'm finding I'm not using like any of his power-ups at all.
Oh, but the bubble is so good.
I haven't used the bubble. I use the run across the screen slashing to get over large gaps every now and then. But other than that,
I don't think I have that one.
Yeah.
But there's the bubble one that traps you in a bubble will let you dash like clear across the screen a lot of times.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I haven't done that. It's, and I have neglected from talking about the second half of the King Knight thing is
Joustus.
It's this Joustus, this fake made up card game that they created for this game that I absolutely hate with every fiber of my being. I cannot stand playing Joustus, and to 100% it, you have to be the best. And I hate it. It's it makes me angry, and it makes me want to put the game down and not pick it back up. I hate Joustus. I hate it so much.
I think it's fine in small doses. Like the three Joustus games you have to play per Joustus area mm-hmm. is too much.
Yes.
I can do maybe one or two, and it's like, no, I kind of want to go jump on things now.
Yeah. I have found that I need to spend all of my money on cheat cards because I can't beat them without them. I hate Joustus so much.
It helps if you put, you know, the good cards into your deck, but then if you still lose, then you could lose the good cards.
That's why I don't put the good cards in my deck, because I don't want to.
But then you can't win because you don't have any good cards.
But I'm going to lose anyways, so why should I waste my good cards?
You can buy the cards back.
Oh, I know,
Chester.
and that also sucks. I just don't know. It's a shame. Like if I liked his platformer stuff more, I would give it more of a pass. But you have a game mode that I hate and a game mode that I am just okay with. And that is equaling out to about a 30 to 35% thumbs up for me, which is just barely a thumb sideways. I don't know. I am glad that it was a free DLC. I do not besmirch Yacht Club, you know, putting out so much extra stuff. They could have stopped at any point, really.
Actually, they couldn't because it was a stretch goal.
That's right. It was a Kickstarter stretch goal.
They had made themselves obligated to do this.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason why I don't like it as much. Maybe they kind of were like, "We're kind of done with Shovel Knight now. let's just put this one out. Let's not sand off the edges." I mean, it looks beautiful. It looks really good. So no complaints there. But like, I don't know. I could see myself going back and doing New Game Plus on Spectre Knight or even Plague Knight. As soon as I'm done with King Knight, I am done, and I'm never going to look at that mode again. I guarantee it. Wow, that was incredibly negative, and I have not gotten that negative about a thing on this show in a very long time.
Well, I like it, and I think Joustus is okay.
Well, I am willing to be wrong on this. That's fine. If I'm okay with being on the wrong side of history on King Knight and Joustus.
I haven't read anything about it, so I don't know what the consensus is. And yeah. I also hate the fact that we live in this world where there's a consensus on what is good and what isn't.
Well, that's the thing. There shouldn't be.
Yeah, there and shouldn't. People should be able to decide and be allowed to like whatever they want.
And you can, you just don't look at the internet. That's the answer. Like, we're going to get into it with Star Wars predictions and talking about it right now. Early reviews are saying that it's not doing so hot.
I don't think it's outward. No one has outwardly said it's bad.
They're just not saying they're saying it's not amazing.
Yeah.
But, and we've talked off mic about this. Star Wars is in a unique position where, you know, let's just go ahead and talk about it now. Star Wars is in a unique position where it is too big to succeed.
It's the opposite of too big to fail.
Yeah, like in order to make people happy and in order for everyone to enjoy it, it's going to have to go in so many different directions and be like do things that diametrically oppose each other within the same movie. Like, it's got to do everything for everyone, and nothing can do that. So it's going to,
with
by default, not...
With the exclusion being the Mandalorian, apparently.
People love Baby Yoda. Yeah.
Everybody loves Mandalorian. Well, I've seen a couple negatives on Mandalorian. But
those are just contrarians.
Yeah.
Mandalorian's really good, but people also are a little more lenient on that because it's not the movie. It's not in the main line. It's not the Force. Well, sure. I mean, it is the Force, but it's not like Luke Skywalker Force and stuff like that. These are all new characters. It's a story told within Star Wars. It's not the...
It's not the Star
quote,
Wars.
Quote, unquote, the Star War. So I think people are willing to give it more of a pass. But like the mainline movies, and even like the spinoff movies like Solo and Rogue One, I really enjoyed Rogue One. Apparently I'm in the minority of that.
I loved Rogue One.
Yeah, but to hear people talk about it on internet... We are the minority on that. People seem to not like it.
Before Mandalorian came out, Rogue One was my favorite new Star Wars thing they had done.
Yeah. See, I like the new trilogy. I didn't have a problem with Force Awakens.
Yeah, I didn't either. It was fine.
I think there were some issues. And if you want to go back and find our episode from 2 years ago where we talked about it, I think... The casino planet was probably the weakest point of that movie, but overall it was good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but like Star Wars...
I like that it was able to be brave and do things different.
Yeah, yeah, but... And there's a chunk of people who like different, but either it wasn't different enough or it wasn't same enough, and you can't do both in the same movie, so no one's... Because they can't make anyone happy, no one's going to be happy. So I'm going to go into Star Wars with an open mind. I'm not going to let internet reviews sway me one way or the other. That's the best way to do it.
I'm going to go in expecting the worst and hoping for the best.
That's a valid way to go in. I don't know.
That way you can only be impressed.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess at the very least you could be like, well, this is what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you can't be disappointed.
Cautious optimism.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Because I don't want it to be bad.
Oh, no.
I don't want a bad Star War. Although war is bad.
War is bad. Star is good.
Star is good. That is our official review of the new Star Wars. War is bad. Star is good.
Yeah. I also like that we, throughout this conversation, we have been calling it the singular Star War, almost exclusively, and I kind of love it.
I've done it so often, it's just the way I say it now.
Yeah, yeah. I know I got that from Arrested Development.
See a Star War.
Here's $2, go see a Star War. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right, well, hey, do you have any other check 'em outs? We have a couple minutes here.
I could talk about Final Fantasy VII, I guess.
You did jump back into Final Fantasy VII. Go for it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
After, like, how long? Months?
Yeah.
I sent him a text. What did it say? I don't know where I'm at. All my materia is gone, and Tifa just powerbombed a giant turtle.
Awesome.
And from there, I was able to go, oh, you're in Wu Tai.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds about, yeah, okay.
Well, yeah. First I went, is Cloud in the wheelchair? And you were like what? And then I sent you a picture of the 3D model in the wheelchair with a sad face.
I had no idea.
And I'm like, oh no, you're in Wu Tai. But you've seen the moment.
Oh yeah.
The big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Bet it came as a shock, right?
Yeah,
I was completely shocked.
Yeah. Hey, spoilers. You know.
Yeah.
For this, what is it? 20 years old?
Oh,
now?
Probably.
No, yeah. Yeah. Oh god. But no, are you enjoying?
Oh yeah.
Jumping back into it. Okay. Good.
It's really good. There's a reason people like it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it is overrated. I think it gets all the praise it deserves.
I was just going to say, I think it is one of the rare instances where it is exactly rated. It is not overrated or underrated. It is just rated.
I think there's definitely some dungeons that are not great.
Sure.
Yeah, if I have to complain about something, it'd be just the maps and having to navigate them. I have the worst time trying to navigate.
Oh, sure.
The world map is hot garbage.
It's not great.
It's not designed in such a way where any part of it is memorable. Mm-hmm. You can't look at a screenshot of any part of the world map and be like, oh, you're here. It all just looks like green lumps.
And that's always been a problem with the Final Fantasy games. I know 6, I could not. I had the same issue with 6, like trying to find different spots. But
The only game that doesn't get me like that is Dragon Quest. I don't know why it is. I don't know if they just pick really memorable continent shapes or what, but I don't get lost in Dragon Quest.
You know, that could be, or it might be, I guess later Dragon Quest games, you could spin the camera around, but like the early ones, it's pretty much locked in one
position.
That's
true. That has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
And it's easier to get turned around when all of a sudden you're turning one way and the camera's spinning the other, and all of a sudden everything looks the same.
That's why Pokemon spent so long without having a movable camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And still doesn't in certain areas.
Right, in the majority of it.
Yeah.
Still playing Pokemon. Slowed down on it considerably. Still playing it.
Haven't touched it.
Really?
Still haven't beat Leon. Maybe never will. I don't know.
Leon, you win.
Yeah, you win. He's still the champion in my game.
You know what? You spend an awful lot of money on all those...
Capes
and snapback ball caps. You deserve this one,
you
bud.
You can have this one, bud.
Yeah.
I never finished Sun and Moon either. I made it to that island that doesn't have anything on it.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of lost interest.
Well, the island that has nothing on it except for like one trainer, it feels like you're done. Yeah. It's like
Close enough. You know,
the programmers were done with it, so why should I press on any further?
Game Freak doesn't want to put any more effort into it. I don't either. Yeah.
Everyone collectively gave up. Big give ups.
And you know what? I still like the game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is a perfectly adequate 3/4 of a game.
They even did some cool story stuff with that foundation. What was the Aether Foundation or something?
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty interesting.
It had a more coherent plot than Sword and Shield does.
Yeah. Although, without getting past that last island, you never saw, like, the end goal of the Aether Foundation, and it is dumb. There's a person who gets absorbed by a Pokemon, and they kind of turn into a human Pokemon hybrid.
They get Norded.
They get Norded, yeah. Well, okay, so that one that's like a jellyfish-looking thing, it sits on top of the evil lady from the Aether Foundation, and then you fight that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like
weird.
It's like a Final Fantasy boss.
That's weird, and I kind of like it.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. Like the I forget what the it's like the Dark Dimension or the Beast Mode or whatever it was.
It's just like an alternate universe.
Yeah, yeah. I liked that. I liked that. It's like this weird universe where all these weirdo Pokemon that they make no sense at all, and
they were specifically designed to look unearthly.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. Like the one that's just a bunch of like electric cords. Like its hands and feet are like plugs. And like, yeah.
Not like Sword and Shield where it's like, oh, there's this other company and they're here and they're bad, I guess. And Rose wants to do something that's bad, but it's not clear.
I guess here's this dragon that just looks like a bunch of ribs.
Yeah, here's a really pointy centipede dragon.
Yeah, and when you catch him, you can't make him big. Even though he had a big form when you fought him the first time, it just doesn't happen anymore. Oops, Daisy.
I hate how the Gigantamax works. You can't use it unless you catch him in that special location. Mm-hmm.
And you can't use him unless you can't Gigantamax him unless you have a special location.
It's half baked, is what it is.
Yeah. I wish they would have just brought back the special evolution. What is it called?
Oh, what was that called when they turned into a special?
It's not the Z move. It's the
Z moves were cool too.
Z moves were really cool, but like it was the
is it Mega?
No. Mega Evolve. Mega Evolve. That's what it was. Like the once per battle. Yeah. You know, and it reverts at the end. I liked
Digivolve. I think it was called Digivolve.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about some news.
Hey, Froggy Freshmas, everyone. That was it called Christmas List by Froggy Fresh?
Christmas List, yeah, Froggy Fresh.
A classic we play every year.
Featuring Moneymaker Mike.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Did you hear him? Did you hear him in the song? He was there. Yeah, we almost played something from the Star Wars Holiday Special, but
then we realized it was all terrible.
Yeah, we tried listening to the B. Arthur song, and no.
No thanks.
No, we won't do that to you. So, hey, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. The big news was the Video Game Awards happened last week.
The Keeleys.
Yeah.
The Keeleys. Yeah, Jeff Keeley's Video Game Awards, starring Jeff Keeley.
Featuring Hideo Kojima.
Featuring his best friend, Hideo Kojima. Did I mention Jeff Keeley was there?
The first person he called out was Kojima, like, as soon as he went on stage.
Sitting front and center.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into, like, the meat and potatoes of the Game Awards, should we explain to the list, to maybe listeners that haven't ever seen the Game Awards or heard of it, what's the joke?
First of all, if they haven't seen or heard of it, they should consider themselves very lucky.
Yes. So it was started 5 years ago by, was he a game reporter?
Yeah, he's some kind of game journalist.
Yeah, a guy named Jeff Keighley who put this thing together. I think he did it originally for Spike TV.
Yeah.
But now it's all done streaming on Twitch, and it is like if...
Which Jeff Keighley probably tells himself is better than being on TV.
Sure, yeah. It is a joke. It is an excuse to have trailers for new games run for 3 hours, and this former games journalist pat himself on the back and also be completely disinterested while introducing guests, while waiting to get to the people that he really wants to talk to, because he wants to make new friends with hot celebrities like Green Day and Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, he used to be on the Game Trailers TV show and the G4TV.com show for G4.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's even worse than Spike TV. Wow, okay. Yeah, so the Game Awards is basically if the Oscars mattered less than the Oscars actually matter currently. It's like they took... And everybody in the crowd knows that the award sucks and nothing matters. Like, they understand... They're in on the joke. They know that this doesn't matter. It's like, you know how when you watch the Academy Awards and everyone's making jokes at each other, and like, especially when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey hosted it that one year, and like, no one was taking it seriously. Everyone was about half drunk because who cares? Whatever. It's like that, but instead of everyone going, oh, who cares? Whatever. The main guy who created it is like, no, seriously, you guys, this is a big deal. No, seriously. Seriously, we have musical guests. We have churches, Javerches, and Grimes, and my best friend's Green Day.
This is video game Oscars, and unfortunately, it is the closest thing there is to that.
But also, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, people will watch movies because they want an Oscar. Very, I would say, single-digit people will play a game solely because it won a video game award. I mean, single digit ever. And again, it's basically an excuse to play a bunch of trailers, like, for games that are going to come out between now and E3.
Yeah. And they're more excited to tell you about these trailers than they are to do the actual awards.
Oh, yeah. They'll gloss over like 3 or 4 awards just, you know, within about a 2-minute stretch and then play 10 minutes of trailers.
Yeah, of commercials. Of basically. Commercials.
Yeah. So we're not really going to talk about the awards too much. I mean, we could talk about a couple of the big winners, which aren't really big winners.
Well, Disco Elysium took home a lot of awards.
And it deserved it.
Yeah, and it's a cool indie RPG thing.
Yeah, it's cool to see indie games, you know, win, the smaller guys win awards. That's always kind of neat. Smash Brothers won Best Fighting Game, which is fine.
Yeah, that's good pick. I'm not upset by it.
I'm not upset by that. I wish all the other fighting games were a little better. Not saying that Smash Brothers is bad and doesn't deserve it. It does, but I wish they had a little bit of competition this year. Yeah. Because Street Fighter V kind of sucks, and Mortal Kombat kind of sucks.
Is dumb.
And Tekken's really good, but no one cares because it's Tekken.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Apparently, Michelle Rodriguez cares, but not enough to pronounce the name of the game right.
She and Vin Diesel play a lot of Tekken
fighting.
Yeah, we'll get to stars of Fast and the Furious, Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel here in a moment. But like, okay, so the game of the year was given to a game called Sekiro. Did we ever talk about Sekiro on the show?
Yes, I did. Because I tried to play it.
Yeah. And what did you think?
It was a Dark Souls game, and as much as I try to like those and always give them a shot, I always leave, you know, having a bad time.
Sure, yeah. And like, when it comes to like those type of games, it almost, Sekiro, from what I've heard, is like the lesser of those style of games.
And yeah, like, and it's the one I stuck with the longest, so.
Yeah. So it very much felt like they gave, God, who is it? Who does Sekiro?
From Software.
It feels like they gave From Software this award because they should have given it for Bloodborne a few years ago. It's the Meryl Streep Award for, hey, this is a thing that we should have given you 4 years ago, so this is consolation prize. So you can say that, hey, we won an award. So that kind of was a bummer.
It was kind of a safe choice, but not too safe.
Yeah.
Type of situation.
Yeah. Like, a couple of the other things, I know the family-friendly game was, everything nominated was Nintendo. And Luigi's Mansion 3 won, which is cool.
Which is deservedly so. I think it was my favorite one out of the nominees.
Yeah. They gave an exorbitant amount of awards to streamers and online gaming personalities.
Oh, my favorite is when they would list a bunch of esports people in
like
a row.
It's like you had an aneurysm.
Yeah, it's like, am I having a stroke?
Oh, yes.
It's like Potato, Screwball, Clonky, and Chunk Boy.
Oh, no, and you forgot, and Bailey! Yeah. Because the one woman that was on the list just used her own name.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have a stupid, like, goofy, like, whatever name. I wish, and I looked this up afterwards, one of the streamers that was nominated is a online Fortnite player named Echo, and I wish she would have won because she is completely deaf. And I think that's kind of neat that
would have been good representation.
That would have been very good representation, but she didn't. Instead, they gave it to, like, whoever the ninja of this year is.
Yeah, this year's ninja.
This year's ninja.
It's like Booga or something. Boogers.
Whatever.
Boogers. Chonko.
Banana boy.
Dipswitch. That's going to be my online streamer name.
Click a 360.
Hey guys, it's your boy Dipswitch coming at you with Fortnite strats and Minecraft videos. But be careful, I might get delisted on the YouTube if I put those up.
Yeah. And you don't want to have a heated gamer moment.
Oh yeah, no, that would be embarrassing. Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into some of these.
Don't film any bathrooms either.
Oh, God.
Because that'll get you a TV deal.
Guys, I think gaming might be a mistake.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
At least recording other people doing it.
Yeah, I think so. So let's talk about some of these trailers.
Video games are meant to be played in a basement alone.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, let's talk about a couple of the trailers, some of the big ones. We're not going to talk about all of them because this year, even for the Game Awards, even being what it is, it was pretty boring. It was a lackluster
for
a lackluster awards show.
About halfway through it, I'm like, is this it? Can I stop watching? Like, I regretted it afterwards.
See, I was watching it on another person's stream. The benefit of having the show being only on Twitch is that other people can stream it and do like a Mystery Science Theater style, like, live reaction to it because it's not like a copywritten thing. So that is like the only way I was able to get through it this year. But yeah, let's talk about some of these trailers. Announcements. I guess the really big one is the Xbox Series X, the next generation for the Microsoft Xbox. Congratulations, they invented the PC tower.
Yeah, it just
the thing
it
that's been around for 40 years.
It literally just looks like a PC tower.
Yeah, I don't know how people are going to fit it into their TV stands.
Yeah,
honestly, because so many game systems have like the VCR DVD player like form factor, and this one is just a computer tower. I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't know.
Also, the Series X is a dumb name.
Oh, yeah, but they've always had a dumb name.
Oh, yeah, like the Xbox One.
Yeah, that was bad.
Or as it was abbreviated, the X-Bone.
Or Xbox One X.
The X-Bonks.
X-Bonks.
So
but you
this
know what?
One...
I'm probably going to buy this.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they've said they want you to just call it Xbox.
Like the first Xbox.
Like the whole brand is just call it Xbox now.
Whatever.
Don't get hung up on which one you have. It's all just Xbox, which that's fine.
That's fine. It's like when your grandma goes and says, "Hey, are you playing the Nintendo?"
Yeah. Well, it's like an iPad.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of different ones, but you just say, "Hey, hand me that iPad."
I just wish the Xbox wasn't such a clunky and dumb name
to begin with.
Yeah, it's a terrible name. Okay, so games. Nintendo is putting out Bravely Default 2, which I thought already existed.
That was Bravely Second.
Yeah.
Which was the direct follow-up to Bravely Default.
So it's Bravely Default 2, the third in the series.
No, it's the second. It's a different game. It's like how Final Fantasy is each a different story.
Oh, so this is a...
This one is a whole new story.
So this is a Final Fantasy X and X2
yeah.
Bravely, situation.
Bravely Second was the X2 to Bravely Default.
Okay.
Which I know is not at all confusing.
It's a whole new game.
Yeah.
It's like Final Fantasy.
Which it basically
like
is
that.
To begin with.
Yeah. If I remember correctly... I think I said some pretty negative things about Bravely Default.
You were pretty hard on Bravely Default.
Yeah, yeah. Which is rare because I usually like JRPGs, but like something about Bravely Default rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe I'll like this one. I don't know.
I liked it at the time, but I also didn't really ever get that far into it. So maybe you were right. I don't know.
Yeah.
It had good character designs though, and this looks like it's gonna follow in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Department.
That'll be, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll give it a shot. If it's not, you know, super, super pricey, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, it's going to be $60.
Yeah, probably. Pick something else on there.
Well, the first game they announced for the Xbox Series X was Hellblade 2 Setsuna's Saga, which is a sequel to Hellblade Setsuna's... It's not Setsuna, is it? Is that right?
I mean, there's Senua? A game called... Senua is
Senua
the...
Senua is what... There's a game called...
I Am Setsuna.
I Am Setsuna that I'm getting it confused with. Senua's Sacrifice.
Okay, what's it about?
What was the first one about?
Like, the character had, like, schizophrenia or something like that, right? And the whole deal was, it was, like, the audio was, like, was it bio-oral or something like that? Whereas, like, surround sound, you'll hear stuff from all different angles, and it's supposed to, like, mimic, like, hearing voices in your head or something like that, if you're wearing headphones or something.
And the time period is set in like the
Viking
yeah, that kind of.
Oh god,
we're doing a bad job explaining this one, but the trailer was kind of neat. That was a lot of chanting and like it was like
intense.
Very intense, that's a very good way of putting it. Yeah. What's this Ghost of Tsushima?
It's a samurai game for the PlayStation 4.
Is it just me or was this boring?
It looks pretty boring.
Yeah. We talked about it a little last week because it was at the end of the State of Play.
Yeah.
And this didn't sell me on it anymore.
No.
I don't, the first E3 trailer they had was pretty cool, but this looks kind of generic.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't great. So I guess League of Legends, which is a big franchise of those... MOBA, I think is what they're called, that
oh,
style.
God, we're sounding like confused old people.
I don't know what a MOBA is. But like apparently they're doing a bunch of spin-off games, including a JRPG and some kind of other...
Time travel related
thing.
Game.
Time travel
I
thing.
Don't know. I don't like League of Legends.
I don't know what it is.
I don't like MOBAs. They're not fun.
Yeah, they don't seem fun to me either. So Wolf Among Us 2 is a game that I wasn't expecting to see, mostly because the studio of that game, like, closed.
Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy and basically just disappeared.
Yeah. So from what I understand, what happened was a lot of the artists and writers and stuff from Telltale went off and formed their own company and are now being contracted out to make this because they still... Because
what is, that's not what I
heard. That's what I was... Under
I heard
the impression that's
somebody
what it was.
Bought the rights to Telltale.
They bought the rights to Telltale, but they're contracting.
They offered to contract out people that worked for Telltale to work on this. But
oh,
I don't
that's
know,
what it was. Okay.
I don't know if they actually have contracted anyone or not.
Okay, because if they had contracted it, that would be really suspect because like I don't like the idea of having an employee get laid off because of bankruptcy and then be on a contract basis. Where they have even less, like, you know, employee rights. Basically, you're doing the same work for less job security, and that kind of sucks.
This announcement I got really excited about, and then I thought about it, and then it just makes me feel weird.
Uh-huh, yep.
Because, like, it's Telltale in name only.
Yeah.
And all the people at Telltale got really screwed, and they're getting nothing out of this.
Yep. But, hey, the game looks fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wolf Among Us was a great game.
Yeah. Okay, so the last couple things we have on here. So there were some embarrassing things that happened during the show. Norman Reedus didn't wear his glasses when he got on stage and couldn't read any of his teleprompter cues. I thought he was drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, the guy who is in charge of Xbox for Microsoft was inebriated when he was on stage. He was slurring his words. That is not a joke. It is actually what happened.
Oh, we forgot about to talk about there was a Best Performer award, which is a different kind of cool thing to have.
Best Performer? Oh, yeah. Mads Mikkelsen won the thing.
Mads Mikkelsen won it, which he probably deserved it.
Tommy Earl Jenkins really should have, at least should have gotten a nomination, if not the win, because of the way he performs as Die Hard Man. He's in way more of Death Stranding than Mads Mikkelsen. And once you get to the end, you're going to probably agree, I hope, I bet, because he has like a 2-minute scene that rivals like film performances.
Wow.
Like it is that good. So there were some musical acts because
Ashley Birch was nominated.
She was nominated.
And her,
Outer Worlds, right?
Her character in Outer Worlds is so good that like I wish she could have won some other award for
yeah.
it. Because there was no way she was going to get this one.
Well, she'll win something in a couple years. It'll be the the Sekiro syndrome all over again.
I wish the Outer Worlds would have won something, but it...
But it's not gonna.
Yeah. It just wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
It was a mid-budget game, so it didn't win it.
Yeah, exactly. So there were musical performances because, hey, this is a real awards show, you guys. Look at all of our musical performances. Churches did a good job. I like that song that they did for Death Stranding. Grimes was weird.
I didn't hate Grimes. It was mostly a commercial for Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
so
taken in the context that it's supposed to be a weird, like, super future version of the 80s, and you look at it like that, I get the song, but taken as an isolated thing, I hated it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't listen to that by itself.
No.
Yeah. Also, Elon Musk was there, and he was embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I hate the way that after she was done, the camera
they
went to
immediately
him.
Flashed to
it's
him.
Like, well, he had nothing to do with this and, other than he's dating Grimes.
And the
so
minute he tried to stand up to give her a standing ovation, the camera cut away from him so fast. Just so fast. Green Day was also there and played two songs. And you could tell that Jeff Keighley was the only thing he was excited for. Like the rest of the show, he was like, and the winner for the game goes to whatever. Let's move on. Because Green Day's here. And my buddy, like, Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Yeah. Reggie's speech was so good,
He was very good. Yeah, he announced, presented Indie Award.
The Subway Fresh Indie Game Studio Award for Freshest Indie Game Studio.
It's an embarrassing award, but like, it's the speech that he gave was phenomenal about, you know, how everybody in this audience, they were indie developers at one point. This is a very important aspect of the industry and like, it was really nice.
I felt a little warmth in my heart.
Yeah, and
it made me feel good to be an indie game developer.
Yeah, and then it was followed up immediately by Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel being hammered out of their gourd and slurring their way through announcing Fast and Furious Crosswords
for iOS.
Fast and Furious Crossroads, which was also the last announcement for the night, which is usually saved for like the big one.
Something that will blow your mind.
And this was, it blew my mind that Vin Diesel looked so bad in that game. Like the graphics were terrible. He looked bad.
It looked like a mobile game.
Yeah, it
like,
did. It looked real bad.
No, it's just like, no one wants this, really.
No one does. Yeah. I don't even think Fast and Furious fans want this. Now, if it were The Rock and Grumbly McBritish, what's his name?
A Hobbs and Shaw game.
I would play that.
You would have been standing and clapping.
I would clap when I see it. Yeah. All right, well, that's the Game Awards. It was embarrassing and kind of boring, but, you know, there were a few little gems in there, I guess.
Next year, we got to stream it.
We got to
stream watching it.
We got to, for sure. Okay, so a couple of quick hits here. So there's some new pictures for Bill and Ted Face the Music, the third Bill and Ted movie, and it looks great.
Yeah, it looks so good just from three pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Those three pictures make me not concerned about the film at all.
Yeah.
Like, it is nostalgia bait film done right.
Yep.
I think. Because that's what it is.
As soon as I saw those pictures, I'm like, why can't the new Ghostbusters be this good looking?
Yeah, exactly. Is that weird that we live in a world where a sequel to the Ghostbusters is...
looks bad.
Looks not great. And a sequel to Bill and Ted looks like it's going to be contender for top of the year next year.
Yeah. That is weird, but that's the world we're in right now.
Yeah. There's a second He-Man show coming to Netflix.
Yeah. The Kevin Smith one apparently is not enough. Because they're also doing a CG one as well.
It makes me wonder if Netflix took a look at the Kevin Smith one and said, well, we've sunk too much money in, so we can't say no. Let's do something else so that we can not ruin the brand.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't see where they went. You know who should get for this He-Man thing? Kevin Smith.
Do we have room enough in our hearts for two He-Man shows?
No.
Do we have enough room in our hearts for one He-Man show?
Not really.
See, there you go.
And I like the original He-Man.
I like He-Man too.
I think it's hilarious.
Have you ever seen the pseudo spin-off sequel to He-Man where it was He-Man in space?
No.
It's terrible. Oh, you got to look some of it up. Like, it took the animation went from like He-Man style animation to Brave Star style animation.
Oh, no.
And it is like a noticeable step down in quality. It's kind of mind-boggling. It's okay. It's like when they tried to bring back Space Ghost in the 80s and they did like a handful of Space Ghost shorts and like the animation was like off. It was like things were just not right. Okay, so last thing here before we get out of here, Star Wars predictions. So the new one, The Rise of Skywalker, is going to be out by the time people are listening to this. What do we think is going to happen?
I think they'll kill off Rose, and there's a 50% chance it'll be off screen.
Yeah, that is very likely, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm going to be ticked about it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I think they're going to get into Rey's parentage. I don't want them to, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think they've started bringing the question up again a lot in media surrounding the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they answered that, though.
They said, yeah.
Yeah.
They were just people.
So they're definitely going to do something with it, which is dumb. I mean, I'm going to say it. It's really stupid.
Double secret Kenobi.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guess is Kenobi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's either Kenobi or Palpatine, but my money's on Kenobi. Although Emperor Palpatine is in this movie, and that would be like the big J.J. Abrams twist moment of, no, Rey, I am your father.
Oh, God, and it's basically exactly the same thing. For, that's it.
Yeah?
That's it. You figured it out.
That's it.
Palpatine
it.
Is her dad.
Yeah, we're calling it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's dumb and terrible.
Yep.
And hackneyed.
I think they're going to give Finn even less to do in this film. Like, if they wanted to do a parentage thing, if they wanted to do a generational parentage thing, make Finn some kind of relative to Lando.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of weird that, you know, there's only one black family in space, apparently. But, like, if they wanted to go, oh, like, Lando takes one look at him and go, oh, hey, your parents, they lost you, and you ended up somehow in the Imperial system, and we were looking for you, Finn. You're Finn Calrissian. Hey, look at my cape. We'll get you a tiny baby cape.
It makes about as much. It's about as good as anything they're going to do for Rey. So
I would like that more than whatever they have planned for Rey. But it's going to be Rey is going to have the secret familial ties to something.
And I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, it's this weird genetic thing. Like, it turns it into this weird story about genetic superiority or something, I guess. I don't know. I don't care for that. Yeah.
Don't care for that at all. Okay. The big one. This is my big prediction. And I've said this for years. Like, the prophecy about bringing balance to the Force is not about the Jedi beating the Sith. It's melding the Sith and the Jedi ways, having both mindfulness of feelings, but also embracing them. Do we think that Rey is going to be like the first on-screen depiction of, like, a gray Jedi.
I think that's what Rian Johnson was leading us towards.
Gotcha.
But I don't trust J.J. Abrams to do anything that interesting.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, because I would have liked to see that. I would like to see, like...
And it's new, and it's a different and creative idea, and mm-hmm. they seem like they're afraid to do that now.
Yep, so... Samantha, do you have any...
No, you guys pretty much said what I was thinking.
Okay.
How do you feel about this Star Wars? Are you apprehensive yes. about it? Yeah.
We're all a little nervous mm-hmm. in the studio about the new Star Wars.
We got the pre-Star Wars jitters.
We did. That's name of the episode. You nailed it. That's it.
I'm going to be honest. I am really, really worried that it's going to be bad.
Baby Yoda better be in this. That's all I have to say.
I think you're going to be disappointed.
Teenage Yoda.
Yeah. Teen Yoda.
Yeah.
It's basically teen Groot. It's, Yoda.
Right. Yeah. Are they just doing a Groot with Yoda? Is that what it is?
I mean, he doesn't really talk.
Yeah. I am.
Is it Yoda? Is baby Yoda just Yoda? Did he molt off a piece like Groot?
You know what?
We don't know.
I hope he's an offspring. I hope he's somehow tied to Yaddle.
Yeah.
Because I think we need more Yaddle.
Yaddle needs more lore behind her.
Again, I think it's either, I hope it's either something with Yaddle or the Kaminoans have somehow cloned Yoda. And it doesn't mean that it's a perfect copy of Yoda and it's Yoda again, but it's like they have the genetic material and they're like, let's make our own Yoda for nefarious purposes.
an evil Yoda.
What if the Empire bought a clone Yoda so that they would have their own Sith Yoda?
Yeah, they're trying to train a Sith Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. See, we're coming up with much better and more interesting ideas for The Mandalorian than...
Yeah.
Than mainline Star Wars. And
The Mandalorian has been more interesting than anything they've come up with in the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what else is good about The Mandalorian is they keep it simple.
Yes.
They don't feel the need to bog you down with 500 concurrent plot lines like a lot of prestige streaming TV series do.
I like that this show has a finite ending. It's not an ongoing series. It's not season one of whatever. They're doing 12 episodes, and then that's it. Tell a story. They're going to do more, but like at least by the end of the season, they will have wrapped it up as though it is a concrete end to the series. I like that. I like things with endings.
Yeah. I think they should, after this, they should put Jon Favreau in charge of Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree.
If he did this good with Mandalorian, like, let him and like Bryce Dallas Howard and whoever do whatever
yeah.
they want.
Yeah.
Her episode, the one that was...
The Seven Samurai
Seven
episode.
Seven Samurai, yeah. That was the best one I've seen so far.
I've heard that. I've had multiple people tell me that that one is the best one of the bunch. So.
And the one after it was the worst one so far.
Oh, really?
I mean, it wasn't... I wouldn't say it was bad. I wouldn't say any of them were bad. But it went whole hog into fan service town.
Oh,
he went back to Tatooine to begin with. If that tells you how bad it's going to get. He went back there. He went to the cantina, the same one.
Went to the same booth.
Yeah.
The same booth?
The same booth.
Sitting with his feet up on the table.
A different character.
Well, maybe they had to get one episode where they got all of it out of the way.
Amy Sedaris is in it. And she's hilarious.
I've seen some pictures of her.
But
she looks like a high school art teacher.
Yeah. And she drops some really painful callback lines. Like she mentions a motivator when talking to a pit droid. She has to mention Beggar's Canyon for some reason. Like,
again, they had to get it all out of the way.
Yeah.
They got one episode. It's like, this is the fan service episode. Let's just skip it and be done, and that's it.
It still tells a pretty good story, though, even though it is gets mired down in like this fan service bog.
I think we are way over on time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also find us on various forms of social media. That is Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. If you do a search for Nerd Overload now.
Man, we need to get Josh back.
Oh, yeah, we got to get Josh back.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and leave a message. We might play it on the show. The number is 586-372-8020.
Yeah. We're also on YouTube for the time being. Just do a search for Nerd Overload. You can find all of our past episodes on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can go over there and check that out. You can get the show a couple days early, which is pretty cool.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah, steaming hot right there on your plate, if your plate's a phone or something.
Lost the metaphor.
I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.